Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a parenting comedy podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys. Not that we make it hard. We are delightful.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
What?
God, I hope I haven't told this story before. Do you remember when it was like Thanksgiving? And I think it was his junior year, and he's living in a house for the first time. So he's off campus.
Yeah.
For the first time. It's like Thanksgiving, and he's home, and he's all like bubbly and full of love. And he comes in the kitchen, and like you're knee deep in potatoes and shit. And he goes, "Mom, will you teach me to cook?" And you looked at him, and you were like, "Google it."
I Shouldn't Have Had Kids.
That's my wife, Bonnie.
And I thought you were going to say that's my wife, Ellen.
I almost did.
And that's my wife, Ellen.
And we say the things out loud that most parents only keep to themselves.
That's right. This is a parenting comedy podcast, or a comedy parenting podcast. I don't know which to do. Anyway.
Either way.
That we drop every Tuesday and join you right here, right now. Although we're doing it a little bit differently this week.
Yeah, we're a little discombobulated.
We've had a
couple false starts on our recordings, but that's okay. Here we are live from the Bombcast studio.
In the morning, as opposed recording at night. We are recording over a cup of coffee, which is not our typical MO.
A 12-hour difference, like literally.
And this will be our third recording of this week.
Third try. It's the charm. Holy shit.
If you're just joining us for the first time, it's okay because we never know what we're doing.
Clearly.
Yes. But we do have a ton of experience as parents.
We do. We have three boys, ages 16, 19, and 22.
We call them on the podcast Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy because those are names that reflect their personalities and kind of protects their anonymity while we're at it.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you could figure it out.
Yeah.
But
they gave us permission to share their stories, and we are happy to share our parenting fails with you because solidarity, man.
Yeah.
We parents have to stick together because there is at least one moment in every parent's day where they slap their hands to their forehead and say,
I shouldn't have had kids.
And we know it. So we'll say all the things like, son of a bitch, I can't believe that just happened for you, so that you can remain pure in front of your own children.
Right. We will swear for you. It's a service that we provide.
And if you want to know when the next episode is going live, then all you have to do is follow us on social because we'll tell you every single week.
Yeah. So you can head on over to Instagram and Facebook and find us at I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. Or if you're a Twitter person, which I am not, so
yeah,
we're there at SHHKids. And we also have an email account, ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com. So you're always welcome to drop us a line.
We love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's really fun when you do write in. So keep that up. And also rate, review, subscribe. That really helps us out, boosts us up. The algorithm gods love it. We will thank you for it. So
here, let's do it right now. Those... If you've done that already, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So those are, we just gave you a bunch of stuff to do. Rate, review, subscribe, follow. We just gave you a list of chores.
Oh, which is what we're going to be talking about today. See what she did there?
Yeah. So if you could make yourself a little chart, get some foil gold stars.
That's right. And then when you do something that we've asked you to do, have somebody else put a gold star on your chart for you.
Yep. And at the end of the week, you can pick something out of the prize bucket.
Right. Out of our prize bucket.
Out of our prize bucket.
But get out of my prize
bucket.
Yes.
Since we've done this so many times, let's quickly touch on the shit list.
The shit list this week.
And then we will get into it.
It makes it easy because we both have the same item on our shit list.
Yeah, we do.
Because we took our annual trek back over to the Metau Valley, our happy place, for the fall, what we always refer to as the Larch March, because we take a hike up, we see the beautiful larches turning. These are not evergreen trees, but they are...
I think it's like the only pine that loses its needles.
Yeah, and it changes
something
from
like that.
Green to golden yellow, and it's gorgeous in the fall,
yeah,
and then
it
drops its needles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a deciduous tree, which
Google
is
that, North Cascades larches,
yeah,
if you want to see what we're talking about. But we didn't actually make it up to the Larch March because a lot of things went a little awry, but it turned out to be for the best.
You know, really, when you're talking about our trip over to the Metau and the recording of this particular episode, they share a lot in common.
Yeah. Not quite a shit show, but just not what we expected.
No.
It was good. Don't get me wrong.
No, we went over. Ellen still was thinking it was the middle of summer, so she brought flip-flops and shorts. And, of course, it snowed 7 inches up at the trail that we wanted to hike. So that wasn't going to work.
Not prepared. Just like my boating skills. Not prepared.
But
ever.
Now you
didn't
know.
Check the weather.
No. No.
Although that was out of the blue. People at the Mazama store were like, surprise, it snowed 7 inches up there.
Yeah, that's really cute. That's a cute story. I like it. I knew when we were going over.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't. I didn't bring a hat. I didn't bring gloves.
That's why I asked if you had a hat and gloves.
You asked me when we were like 45 minutes away from the house where we were staying. And I'm like, dirt. We could have bought them, though, if we'd really, really wanted to
but
do this hike.
Okay, can I do a PSA just real fast and then we'll move on?
Yeah.
If you are going to hike in the late summer, but definitely the fall, you always go up assuming it's going to snow 7 inches. It is just what you do.
That's fair.
And so you always have a hat. You always have gloves. You always have, really good waterproofing. You've got the stuff that's going to keep you warm.
We need gaiters.
And you also always bring a headlamp just in case things happen, right? And so Ellen is trying to convince me, no, I'll be fine. We can go up. And I'm like, no, I will not go up there with you. One, I don't want to listen to you complain the whole time. And two, it's dangerous. So
I wouldn't have complained.
What?
I wouldn't have complained.
I've been to Berlin with you in the winter in a vest.
I didn't have a coat.
That's right.
I didn't own a coat. We were supposed to go to REI and then we almost missed our plane.
You complained the entire time.
Oh my God.
All right, let's move on. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Anyway, it was a great weekend. It was like a podcast retreat. So we just laid low, binge watched shows, read books. You colored in a coloring book, adult Zen coloring book.
It was so much fun.
Awesome.
Yes. And we ran a retrospective on I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, which was really fun. Shout out to Molly, my girlfriend, who introduced me to retrospectives. And we have some things in the works.
Yep.
We're really excited about 2021 and cannot wait to say goodbye to 2020 for all the reasons. Oh, we just saw a meme before we came down into the studio today that was hilarious. Somebody posted a meme that said, this is how 2020 is gonna end. And it was these two guys on this giant iceberg out in the middle of probably the Arctic somewhere. And they are standing on the side of it like, hey, look at me, I'm on an iceberg.
Aren't they trying to climb it?
I don't know, not until it started tipping.
Oh.
And so it starts rolling, and these guys try to climb faster than this. I mean, it's a giant iceberg. Faster than this iceberg's going to roll, and it rolls right on top of them, and they just happen to shoot out the sides.
Yeah,
they got super lucky.
That made me nervous.
And that is how 2020 is going to end. Mm-hmm. I don't know that 2021 is going to be any better, but we'll see.
So that was the shit list. And now, the chore list.
I prefer the shit list.
You looked at me like, what is she doing?
Where is she going?
Yeah. Chore charts.
Yeah.
To-dos, so, whatever.
We were about to sit down and, the dog is talking to me. She thinks she deserves a treat. Go away. I love you. Is that just like every bad relationship you've ever had?
And goodbye.
We were getting ready to plan this week's episode and sitting in the office looking at each other. And I was like, huge epiphany. I'm like, oh, my God.
We've never done chores.
We've never talked about chores. And it is literally a daily activity that we discuss here and the bane of every parent's existence.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is, do you make them do chores? If you're going to make them do chores, do you have a chore chart? Does the chore chart work? No. If the chore chart doesn't work, then how do you enforce this? And most importantly, should I reward my kids for doing chores around the house? Do I give them an allowance? And so I went on Facebook and said, hey, parents, what do you guys do? And the world exploded. They all had an opinion. They were very, very opinionated about this. And so we brought some of those posts into the studio today and thought we'd share them with you. And also one person actually did something really cool. They suggested a software called Greenlight, which provides a debit card that's tied to allowance, tied to chores. It kind of, I'll tell you a little bit about it when we get to that part of the show.
Chore charts? Don't work in our house.
Never have.
Never have, never will.
No, you've tried every single chore chart known to mankind.
I have.
Just a piece of paper and a pen?
Yep.
You had a whiteboard?
Yep.
You had a digital chore chart?
Yep.
We actually went to Amazon and ordered a magnetic chore chart.
Yep.
We've had stickers.
Yep.
They've all lasted one, maybe 2 days.
Yeah. Okay, so here's why they don't work in our house.
Why?
Well, if a kid doesn't do their chore, what happens to them?
They just didn't get their chore done.
Yep. There's absolutely no reason to do them.
Oh. So how do you create a reason for a kid to do a chore?
Well, I think you start really young.
Yes.
I don't think you call them chores and you make them a part of your family culture.
You know, now that we've talked about this three times running, I did have a bit of an epiphany about this, because if you have, what are you laughing at?
You had an epiphany about the topic. Now you're having an epiphany
about chore charts
within the topic.
That's right.
This is like really.
I'm epiphanetic.
Oh, yeah.
How do you like that?
I like it.
Epiphanetically speaking. Okay, I'm just going to keep going on with
this. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So if you have a chore that mm-hmm. you have to do, and mm-hmm. if you get the chore done, then you get a reward, whatever that reward is, money, toy, yada, yada, yada. Then you end up doing your chores for that reward. However, if you set up a chore, and I'm using that term loosely with air quotes, because if you set up something that somebody has to do on a day and it's part of a larger plan for a family to be successful, then you are doing that because it's an expectation as part of the family, mm-hmm. and you are doing it to contribute towards success. And so then you do it because it's the right thing to do mm-hmm. and because it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a much better lesson, and we really screwed that up. Can we have a do-over?
I would love a do-over on that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If we'd sat down and had a podcast about it, maybe we would have figured this out.
Yeah, I don't know. And every family's different. And our circumstances of when we blended the family was we were going 100 miles an hour.
Yes,
and there was
true.
A lot of stuff behind the scenes going on with mm-hmm. parenting dynamics. And it was just difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it would have been really great if the kids, and I hate to say this because they were kids, but had stepped up and had just done it. But they didn't. And we didn't have time to sit down and figure it all out. It was just balls to the wall.
But I think that all parents of young kids feel that way. And if you do, and you're thinking that it's you just don't have time to do it,
well,
make the time.
Make the time, but also acknowledge that if you're in a blended family situation like we are, or if you're going to do this later when the kids are a little older and you're expecting a seismic shift in your family culture, it's not necessarily take. It's going to have to be really like a thoughtful discussion where
yep.
they are coming to the conclusion themselves that doing these things will help the family have a successful day every day. Because when you get to the end of the day and the kids are like, we want to play a game or watch a movie. And it's like, well, I can't because, you know, there's still these things to do.
Oh,
it's like tying it back.
Been,
like,
yes.
And I want to sit here and go, well, if you'd helped, if you hadn't sat on your phone or sat reading a book or hidden in your room or gone out with your friends, you know, I mean that, whatever.
So the reward is family time.
So the reward is family time, but it's just also more time for everybody if, you know, but the kids don't, there's no, that, and I think that's probably go back to the no repercussions.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it has to just be something that's not negotiable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That it isn't something that is up for negotiation.
Oh, can I just do this first? No. Can I please? Oh, you know, so-and-so called it. Nope. After your chore. I mean, we were pushovers in this area. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up doing way too much. If you are a parent of a younger child, you don't have to do what we did.
Mm-hmm.
This is where our bad experience and our face-palming moments as parents comes mm-hmm. in handy. Mm-hmm. Because learn from us. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But they're important. Chores are important.
They are important. And I have to say, before we move off chore charts,
yeah.
that when I put the Facebook post up and said, hey, what do you guys think about chores and allowances
yep, yep.
and tying them together? One of the respondents was a former nanny of Tigger and Lola's. She was there. Stacy was their nanny when they were 6 and 3. She now has a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote and was like, hey, hi, how are you? And she has implemented chore charts. And reading her post, one, was so sweet, but it also took me back to when the kids were little
yeah.
and remembering how hopeful you are when you put up your first chore chart. She says, my parents gave us an allowance every week if we did additional chores. However, as part of the household, we had daily chores, 3 to 4 each day. That was usually something like, you know, unloading the dishwasher, setting the table, sweeping, vacuuming. She has washing windows on here. I can't imagine a kid
That's
washing
intense.
Windows successfully. As for my children, our almost 5-year-old recently got a chore chart that we hung up in the hallway. He does one chore a day, and at the end of the week, he gets a prize. He might be it might be a toy from the dollar store, his choice for dinner or a dessert, special movie night on the projector, etc. And then we'll progress to monetary rewards once that becomes the motivation. So she, like we mm-hmm. used to be, is very hopeful that chore charts will morph into the things that you know, really are the benefits of making kids do chores, right? Self-reliance.
Yeah, I think it's some really good domestic skills.
Yes.
Right? So some of the things that I would suggest that you fold in there early are laundry.
Absolutely.
Ironing.
Yes.
Right? Having them make their own lunch, maybe make a meal a week. Just some of the things that they can take with them forever. And I'll tell you, that was the kids did. I had the kids doing their own laundry from a very young age.
Yes, you did. They started at 12, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but
I mean,
that
like
was,
being fully responsible at 12.
That was yeah, and that was like a real cause and effect.
Yes.
Like, I don't have anything to wear. Okay, that's fascinating.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, that's great news. So, I mean, that was absolutely like,
what will you do about that?
Made sense,
yeah.
But that's more like of, you know, it's how do you get that mindset to extend to the family
mm-hmm.
and more of a communal, like greater good, not just taking care of themselves.
That's
but
right.
I still think that those self-reliance skills are really important.
Yes.
There are a lot of kids who move into the dorms and don't know that they need to separate lights from darks, don't know that, you know, just don't know how to do laundry. I guarantee it. I've seen it. I lived it.
When Lola was graduating from high school, we went to one of the many, many graduation parties, right? And I was standing at one talking to this couple who I'd never met before. And the mother was like, she was hand-wringing that they were sending their daughter off to college and she'd never washed her own clothes.
Oh,
and
wow.
What was she going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed. And I said, wow, she's going to have a lot of lessons to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what else to say after that because that's crazy. Yeah, so you're talking about them being part of a unit.
Yeah, part right? of a unit. And I think
part
that transfers
family.
Over into, you know, if they do live in a dorm with someone else or they're in a house or even when they have their own families,
yes.
just understanding how to keep everything humming. But the thing about, just to go back for a second
yeah.
on the chore chart thing and
yes.
the reward system, if
yeah.
it's an allowance or whatever,
uh-huh.
if they go, well, I don't need any money, so I'm not going to do this, right? Because they figured out there's no repercussions.
Let's call it consequences.
Right. You need to, like, as a parent, don't set it up where then you're the one doing, like, if it's work that is vital to the success of.
Yeah, they have to do it.
Well, if they don't,
because yeah.
they've figured that out, who's going to do it? You? Because then you're just enabling.
But what do you suggest?
Just that it's. Starts young, but it just is
yes.
something that we do. And I do suggest maybe not calling it chores.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it seems like,
Now, I will say for better or for worse, Elle,
yeah.
even though our chore charts failed right, left, and center,
mm-hmm.
we do have three boys who are really, really good about saying, sure, what can I do? They don't always volunteer. They don't see that there's something that they need to do, and I wish that they did. But maybe that's age appropriate. I don't know. But if we ask for their help, for the most part, they're super, super happy to help. Well,
yeah.
okay, and by super happy, I mean they're willing to help.
No, it's not a problem if you ask them to help. It is more of that proactive stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you please take all of your XYZ out of the XY room that's been in there for a week? Like,
yes.
come on. But the thing about our kids with when they help now,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, thank God, because they're the age where when we say, hey, it's your, we cook, you clean, do the dishes. I'm so tongue-tied right now. They clean, they do a good job.
Yeah, they do.
And they're efficient.
Yes.
So.
That's you. That's all
it's
you.
It's not a half-ass dishes are in the dishwasher, walk away. I don't know what other kids and what other families' expectations are, but they wipe down the counters. The dishes are. You know what I mean? It's like the kitchen is now ready for phase two, which is so helpful.
Well, I think that you
with
are
a big family.
I think that you are hitting on something that is one of the reasons why chores didn't work in our house as well as they could have is because they're never going to do it as well as I will.
No.
And so I couldn't handle that. And you have to be okay, guys. You have to let it go.
Just That's right.
Let them do. let them do a bad job or a mediocre job and then go in and lay eyes on it and say, I say, let's inspect. Mm-hmm. And that is just a part of the chores, especially when it comes to
bedrooms.
Yeah. They'll come upstairs and say, okay, my bedroom's clean. I'm like, oh, really? Let's go look at it. And you can see the look of panic when they haven't done it well. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, okay. And I don't do it every time, but
done it enough. They should
figure that one out. You have to be okay with them not cleaning the pan, you know, completely in the way that you would, or dusting in the way that you would, and then take them back through again and walk through and look at the job.
Well, and that I would say that depends on the age.
Oh, sure. A 4-year-old, give them a duster and let them go for it.
Well, no, let them wash the pan. Just know you're going to have to do it. Let them get in there and experience. I mean, 4 is really young, but they love to help.
Oh, yeah.
Little kids love to help.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They love to help. I think it's an investment, though. You've got to think of it as a long-term investment.
It is.
So you're giving them these things to do that are going to help with the family and make everything all great. And they're going to do a shitty job when they're little, and that's fine. And as they get older, you can course correct a little bit. But I want to just pop into the bedrooms for a second, because that's one area where you and I kind of disagree on this stuff. And ironic, too, for you, that rooms are important.
Oh, very funny.
I think
the writing on the wall here.
I don't care if the rooms are a mess. It's just when it becomes like a health situation. So
like when there's microbes growing.
Well, if I can smell food, if it's like they haven't worn clean clothes in a while and I walk in, you can't even see the floor. If I know sheets are, I mean, there's a
so
point
gross.
Where they need to do a reset.
Yes.
But for the most part, I think they need one room in the house that's just whatever. And then the trade-off is you don't get to leave your shit all over the house.
Okay, so I disagree.
And your side of the room is a total shit show.
Hey, that's not a part of what we're talking about. My
you're
housekeeping
not gonna
within
get,
the room.
You're not going to get your allowance this week. That's what's going to happen.
I cannot handle it because the kids are in the house, and I don't think that they can be effective in a room that looks the way that these boys' rooms typically look. And so I will go in, and my head doesn't explode anymore. I just go in and say, this is unacceptable. And they're like, okay. And so I make them clean their room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when I do that, I think about the man who owned this house, who built this house, Jerry Maine. He would go into his – now, this is a little over the top. I would never do this. But it was – he was of a generation. And he was also – wasn't he military? He wasn't military. He was was he military?
I think he had like a thing, so he wasn't in the military. But
yeah,
he
went to military
like an
school
academy
or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, so he would go into his kids' rooms and he would bounce a quarter off their sheets. And if they hadn't made their bed.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what they do in the military.
That's ridiculous.
I know. However, this house was pristine when we moved in.
Oh, my God, it was.
Yeah.
Now it's destroyed.
It's not destroyed, but it is not pristine.
Scratched and bruised.
Big scratch happened the first day as we were moving in. Thanks, boys.
Banged up.
Yeah. Woohoo. All right. So I read an article that I thought was really interesting.
Okay.
It was in the New York Times by KJ Del Antonia. And in this article, she or he, I'll say they because I don't know what KJ is. They said between 2001 and 2005, a team of researchers from UCLA's Center on the Everyday Lives of Families recorded about 1,500 hours of footage of 32 middle class dual earner families, a.k.a. us, with at least 2 children going about their business in Los Angeles. They found that the parents did most of the housework and intervened quickly when the kids had trouble completing a task. Let them fail, I think, is the moral of that story. Children in 22 families made it a practice to ignore or resist their parents' requests for help. So you're not alone. Happened to us. It's probably happening to you. In 8 families, the parents didn't actually ask children to do much of anything. That leaves 2. Count them. 1, 2 families in which kids meaningfully helped out.
Out of how many?
Out of 32 families.
Wow.
So one of the young researchers involved called working on the study, quote, the very purest form of birth control ever devised.
I bet.
She was, or he was probably like, yeah, peace out. You know, I think that we
crazy.
Don't enforce chores because it calls for us to nag.
Us, you and me.
Parents,
or in general.
Parents. If you want kids to get their chores done, this is the bottom line.
Yeah, you have to stay on it.
You have to. I hate using the term nag. It's not fair, you know, because that puts it on us, but it's really on them. You have to, what'd you say? You have to keep on them?
Yeah, well, I was trying to remember, this is our third time trying to record this, so I can't remember if I've said it at the beginning of this one or not. But that's the thing. It's the follow through, because you have to just keep on them with it.
Constantly.
You know, and it's not, these are good life skills. It's not punitive. It's not like you have to do chores because this is the 1920s and you have to milk the goat and, you know, move the hay and wash the tractor.
Same thing.
But there were more intense things to do to keep the family humming.
Back
this
in
is
my day.
Pretty cushy.
Yeah.
You know, to get any flack on unloading the dishwasher, fuck off. I mean, seriously.
You could just say, if you don't unload that dishwasher, we're going to buy a cow.
Yeah. When the kids were really little, there was this one time where I was doling out some stuff for everyone to do. It was like a Saturday. You weren't around. And I'm like, you're going to, like, you do this and you do this and you do this and let's get started. And one of them looked at me and said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh.
I was so taken aback at that toot because the list was like three things for everybody. Just to get to a point so that we could like all go out to a park.
Yeah.
But I think that they just like didn't make any difference to them. But for me, it was such a head clearing thing to know that once I got back from the park and it was time to start dinner, that I had like a fighting chance to do it. Because that meant that then after dinner and dinner was cleaned up, I could just be. That it wasn't all that other stuff. And it's like, no skin off your nose if I ask you to sweep the porch. Really? I mean, it's just
how
like.
How dare you push back?
Well, yeah, I was really like, huh, okay.
And I think.
I wasn't expecting that.
I think that if there's a family plan for a day or a family plan for a week or something, you know, this is the goal we're working toward. Like when we used to have parties, the kids were really good about here. You'd set the stage because I always panic and I want everything pristine and perfect. And so we put this plan together and you like set the stage with them and say, OK, here's the goal as a family. Mm-hmm. We want to get and they would just get to work. They were ready for the party to start.
Yeah,
when
because
it started.
There was a thing that they were working towards and it's hard to work towards harmony. Right?
But you can work towards family time.
Yes, you can work towards.
So if we get all this stuff done today, then maybe we could play a game of Racing Demons tonight, or we can go.
It's just, I think it's just a hard concept for some kids, though, too, because it's that way in their daily stuff as well, or their like homework. So it's like, hey, if you come home and grab a snack and just kind of buckle down, you know, like take 30 and then get into it and get a good chunk done before dinner and then wrap up, you'll have a couple hours at night before bed.
They never did get that.
Never.
Nope.
Okay, but it did for Shy Guy. And
Montessori.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
Because he understands the time management bit. And I think that is because since he was 3 years old, and this is why I say start him young, since he was 3 years old, they're like, here's your list of subjects. How would you like to get it done?
Yeah.
Here's your time. And the kids were empowered to go, oh, well, I don't really feel like starting with math. I think I'll do my world map work first.
Right.
While other kids were like, let's get the beads out and start counting. You know?
That's right.
And so.
And then you learn what your own work patterns are, because if you don't like math and you leave it to the last, then you're like, every day you're like, oh, gotta do math still. Dang it. So then maybe the next week you start with math because you've learned what works best for you. It's such a good skill, but it's also his personality.
It is, but it's. Well, is it? Or is that where?
No, I think it is. I think it's both.
Because he's very like.
He came out like that.
He's just quiet. And is he pragmatic? Like he's just. That's one of the things why.
He's a super hard worker.
He's doing Running Start through the community college and it's all remote. And I'm not worried about him getting it done at all. Because he just.
He's a self-starter.
Seems to get his shit done.
Yeah.
And that's great. Now, when it comes to helping out around the house, he's the worst.
He is the worst.
He doesn't want to do anything.
I think that this show has taught me that we need to have more clear consequences for him.
Well, he has a list.
Mm-hmm. Now that he has a list,
and now
it's
that
working
he,
better.
Right. It's
Hello.
Like goddamn Montessori. Because I was like, you need to do these things. And he's like, oh, uh-huh. And now he has a list.
But that's chore charts, too. I mean, that a list is essentially a chore chart.
Well, maybe it works.
For him?
For him.
Because he was trained Montessori?
Because he's always lived by a chart. Like, that's what they do every Monday is they calendar their entire week right down to who they would like to sit with at lunch.
Get out.
No, I'm serious. And I can't be the same person.
I didn't know that
twice.
Piece.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what the New York Times article says about getting kids to do their chores. They say it's an incredibly simple two-step process. Insist and persist until the chore is done.
Uh-huh.
Accept no excuses. Don't worry if you have to repeat yourself again and again. If you're spending more time getting the child to do this job than it would take to do it yourself, then you're doing it right. Getting children to do chores without nagging, that's an entirely separate endeavor. Right now, the goal is the chore. So if you feel like you're nagging, good.
Mm-hmm.
Just get her done.
Right.
I love that because
insist and persist.
Yes, insist and persist.
I like it.
I know. So watch out, shy guy. Here we come.
Let's say you can get a chore chart to work, or you want to do a list, or whatever you want to call it.
What should be on the
what
chart?
What should be on the chart?
You know, we got a really good comment from Meg on the Facebook post that I put up. She said, and I love this, I had an elaborate chore chart, which is so Meg, of course it was elaborate, that included unloading the dishes, taking the garbage out, feeding the dog, etc. It worked quite well, especially when I became a single mom. I did pay a cash allowance into a three-part piggy bank that had save, spend, and give sections. The chore chart didn't work so well in high school with all the sports and AP classes. She said, I never paid for basic household chores because I thought it was part of their community rule.
Nice.
Community meaning the family.
Yes.
But I had extra things I listed, and they did, like pick up 100 pine cones and shoot them in a bucket. I did pay for that, as well as lawn mowing. Now, this is hilarious because you're probably scratching your head, like pick up pine cones, shoot them in a bucket. Well, it's because they're all basketball players. Yeah. Meg went to school. She went to Stanford on a basketball scholarship, I think.
I don't know if it was a scholarship. I have no idea.
Oh, but I don't. Yeah,
she's a basketball player.
Yeah, she was a basketball player at Stanford. So it's pretty high bar, right? And her girls
Pac-12, yeah.
Her girls were both really, really good basketball players as well. So it slayed me that she had them do that as their chore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can also infuse your chores with family values. But I will say that according to the New York Times, sports and homework, not a get out of chores free card.
No, that, nuh-uh.
Yeah. That's what they said.
Because the homework thing is another one where our smart kids are like, oh, I have, you know, all this homework. No, you don't. You absolutely don't. There's no kid that has 7 hours of homework every night.
They're just dragging their feet.
Absolutely not.
Getting distracted.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to, it's so hard. We know.
Yeah. So that's another thing. If you're like, well, get your homework done and then you can do this thing. You're a fucking idiot if you say that to your kid. You do this thing first for the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your living here.
Yes.
And then you go do your homework.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, to Meg's point, it is really hard. I mean, think back to when Tigger was in his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
He was president of the choir. He was applying. Oh, he was done applying, but he was getting ready for college. All the AP classes. We literally never saw him. And the same thing kind of happened with Lola as well.
Okay. So
yes.
You really want to go here?
What's your take, honey?
We have no idea what Tigger was doing. He was downstairs all the time. And I don't know that he was always doing those things. With Lola, we made him do homework upstairs because
well,
we learned.
That's true.
That some personalities just absolutely have to have someone checking in, period.
Yep. Yep.
And so, I mean, I don't know. We let Tigger get up from the dinner table. He didn't even clear his plate. He would just get up and go downstairs.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember?
No. I blocked it out, obviously.
Oh, yeah, because he had so much to do, and he was our firstborn, and we were like, oh, the pressures. Well, I look back now, and I'm just like...
What a couple of ding-dongs.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have set up a homework station upstairs, just like we did for Lola.
So now that...
just been a little more involved
yes.
in what was going on, because
yes.
I'm not sure that that isn't, like... I'm not sure that's an accurate portrayal of what was going on. I think he absolutely could have put his dishes in the dishwasher. No one's so busy. How long does that take? Seriously.
It's right there from the table to the dishwasher.
It's
like
3 steps.
Feet.
Yeah. It's 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
But then that just became like king of the world. Yep. Gotta go. I'm so busy. I'm like, I just don't think you are.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. Your kids will either learn it at home or they will learn it out in the world. And the consequences of learning it out in the world are much higher than learning it at home. And I think that Tigger will experience that and has experienced that in terms of not learning that stuff. He has already said that, he's got housemates and he's like the sloppiest one. I'm like, I wouldn't live with you.
Do you remember when?
What?
God, I hope I haven't told this story before. Do you remember when it was like Thanksgiving? And I think it was his junior year, and he's living in a house for the first time. So he's off campus for the first time. It's like Thanksgiving, and he's home, and he's all like bubbly and full of love. And he comes in the kitchen, and like you're knee deep in potatoes and shit. And he goes, "Mom, will you teach me to cook?" And you looked at him, and you were like, "Google it." And he was all, and you're like,
"I'm what do you mean Thanksgiving?
What do you mean teach you to cook?" Like. What? I mean, it was amazing because that is such a vast.
I know. What does that even mean? And teach me to cook.
Yeah.
Do you want to learn how to chop a vegetable or make a.
Teach me to cook.
Maripo. I mean, what is it?
Just cook.
Get a recipe out and start.
Oh, my God. You literally looked at him and said, Google it. He was like, oh, my mom.
Mommy, what happened?
Teach me to cook. No, but you did say pick a recipe and we can make it together.
And then and a story,
and that,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. Didn't want to do that. He wanted to learn to cook. Sorry, Tigger. That was hilarious.
That is really funny because the other thing that having chores and moving towards a family goal teaches them is that even though a goal may seem really big, like learning to cook, it's actually just broken down into a bunch of smaller steps.
Yeah.
And so then they learn to feel capable when they accomplish some of this stuff.
Well, and that joke's more on us than him.
Yes, it is because we didn't. Oh, he was impossible
he was,
in the kitchen.
Well, he's
just
he's
impossible
tricky to
in the
teach
kitchen.
To new things too. But anyway,
he knows everything. That's why, honey.
The other two.
Did you not get that memo?
Or are we gonna have each one will have a little bit more because that's just the way it goes.
It is. The first one's an experiment. We've told him forever. Save your money for counseling. Mm-hmm. You'll need it. We have done better than our parents and you will do better than us.
Yeah. Well, save for college or counseling, the two C's.
Or both. All right. So should chores be attached to allowance? Okay. This is where I want to tell you a little bit about that. About Greenlight. But first, I want to share a story that Mary wrote on Facebook.
Yeah.
She said, chores were part of our weekend routine, and we all pitched in and helped when I was growing up. We would often take turns to decide who did what, but I was never paid an allowance. It's the same with my kids at home. It's an expectation. They will pick up after themselves every day. We pitch in and divide up deep cleaning. We each do our own laundry, and they learn how to clean and maintain a house and yard. Yard.
Ooh, yeah.
Good for you, Mary. Mm-hmm. I remind my kids it's not my role to be their best friend or boss. I'm their mother. And from the moment they're born, my purpose is to love and raise them to survive without me. And hopefully they'll contribute something special to the world.
Yeah.
All right. So Greenlight, which is this service and app, and it actually has a card as well. It's a debit card for kids, but it's managed by the parents. And it's pretty interesting because you pay, you know, I don't like subscription services, and this is one of them. It's, you know, if you want to teach your kids how to manage money, teach them never to sign up for subscription services. Somebody should have taught me because I've cost this house a lot of money.
A little bit.
I know. I'm getting so much better at it. All right. So chore management, create in-app chore lists and tie the work to perks within this program.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You have allowance on basically autopilot. So you automatically transfers allowances to kids' accounts. And then it helps them divvy up their earnings between their spend, their save, and their give accounts.
I love that.
You know, we did that with the kids and it worked really well. We had them, when they would earn money, they would come to me and I had an envelope and I would take, how did
25%?
We break it down? No, they got 25%.
25 or 30%, something like that.
Yeah, and the rest went into their college envelope. Mm-hmm. And then they would, when they would want to donate to anything, then I would take the money out of that for donation. Although Lola is like, he just donates on his own. He has things that he's really attached to that he wants to donate to, political issues. And so he just kind of takes it out of his 25%. But that was really cool because when both Tigger and Lola went to college, then I pulled out their envelopes and they were like, oh my God.
That was significant.
Yeah. Thousands. So because they worked hard.
Well, that's what went into a bank account. So they went away with a debit card and
had some money.
Breathing room.
So that's pretty cool. Instant transfers to kids' cards, so you can send money instantly to your kids' accounts anytime. And that could be pretty important because if they get stuck somewhere or they're traveling somewhere or, you know, once we start to travel again, they get to go out of the country and they, you know, they have a need for money for whatever reason. I mean, a real need where they're kind of like between a rock and a hard place. Then that's peace of mind, right? You get real-time notification when they spend money. So you know where they're spending money so that you can provide them feedback and you can also block certain places. So they can't spend money at Steam. They can't spend money at a gaming store. They can't, you know, so it's store specific spend controls. And I really like that.
That's interesting.
And then the other really cool piece is that they get to follow along with the bouncing ball. They see money management happening in front of them. So they are getting, they can open that app, which is what, that's where kids live now. They can open that app and they can see, oh, I used to have this much money. I spent this here and here and here. And now I only have this much money. So prom tickets are that. I better stop spending. So I kind of like it, but I also kind of hate the idea that it introduces them to a card.
Yeah.
And that it's a subscription.
The reward system is interesting, though, because I'm certainly motivated, like, by my watch app that tells me, like, oh, you need to drink water or you need to get up or you can still do it. You just need to go on a brisk 20-mile hike. I'm like, oh, I got to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good reminder.
So, well, reminder, but for me, somehow, it's triggering that same sort of, you know.
It's gamifying it.
Yeah, I'm going to get something.
Yes, yes.
You know, whatever.
Well, and the other thing that I thought was really cool about this card is that you can decide on an interest and then you pay it to them. So they can save their allowance. And the more they save, the more interest payment they get from you.
Oh,
I love that.
This is intense.
Yeah. So it's, they really are learning money management. You don't have to do that, but they can also
save. No, I think that's interesting because I didn't understand those concepts for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Well into adulthood.
Yeah.
And you, they can save the change with Roundup. So if they are buying something for $14.37, it asks if you want to round it up, and then they just dump that into their savings, which I really, I really like that a lot, too.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that's something for you to consider.
Consider?
I'm suddenly from somewhere else.
Yeah, let's look at some of the other answers from Facebook, some of the responses of people, because a lot of folks honed in on the allowance part.
They did.
Not so much chores at all, but just did your parents give you an allowance? So here's one. Where is this? This is from my aunt, Melissa. She said, we did chores as part of being the family. We were latchkey kids. Both parents worked. We got a $5 allowance that was paid in bills and change. With that money, we paid for our lunch and bus fare. There was money left over if we made our own lunch or walked to school. So definitely two separate things.
Yes.
So chores you just need to do because you're a part of the family. Love that. Second, here's some money. Now manage it.
Yeah. And that is. That,
because that's a huge one. Like, especially with our kids, they would much rather buy food than make it themselves. And then they have no money.
That's right.
So.
Well, and I think that what happens here is, you know, it's that intrinsic or extrinsic motivation. Are you motivated because there's something, because there's a carrot dangling out there? Or are you motivated because it's a smart decision? So in Bam's case, hey, Bam, beautiful Aunt Melissa, that's her acronym. In her case, if they decided not to be lazy, to get up to make their lunch, get up earlier, make their lunch, and then walk to school, they had spending money
at the
end of the week.
Yep.
Which I love.
Yeah, I think that's super smart.
Carolyn said, I have never given allowance or established chores beyond whomever, because she's
an editor.
She's a journalist and an editor, yes. Whomever doesn't cook does the dishes. I have always positioned chores as family work with everyone pitching in to do what needs to be done. I never had a chore growing up because my mom said, and get this, it'll knock your socks off, quote, enjoy being a kid. You have the rest of your life to do chores. She was right about having the rest of your life to do chores, but I still make my kids help. Also, my mom didn't work outside of the home.
Yeah.
Which is true. I'm not sure I would do that even if I didn't work outside of the home.
I think part of being a kid is helping out with stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take that long.
No.
It doesn't take that long to do. If everyone did two things, right?
It's such a I have now started delegating now that the kids are older when I'm in the kitchen and a bunch of stuff needs to get done. And every time I do, I'm like, why didn't I start this sooner? This is awesome.
I know.
Just stuff is happening all around me. Amy said, we don't have kids, but I can tell you what my mom did. We had normal chores. We were expected to do laundry, dishes, keeping room clean. You hear that?
Yeah.
Et cetera. If we wanted something, clothes, makeup, whatever, we were expected to do more, like weeding or washing cars to earn extra things. Going into high school, early college, our allowances stopped and we were expected to get jobs to pay for what we wanted. My parents would sometimes split big bills with us, like car payments, insurance, but if we wanted something out of the ordinary, we were expected to earn and purchase it ourselves. I never thought anything of it. It was just the way it was. To this day, I credit my mom for gifting me a hard work ethic and an attitude that nothing is owed to me. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I love that, that it was just ingrained that, oh, I want to buy that thing. Uh-huh. I have to go work to earn the money.
Well, that means
that's awesome.
That they weren't just, it wasn't, you know, they couldn't just request something. Oh, I want to, Mom, can we buy this? You know what? Let's stop and talk about that. That's going to mm-hmm. cost some extra money. So what I'd like you to do is earn the money in order to buy that. So if you weed that garden bed and I check it out and yep. it checks out as being weeded well, then we'll talk about it.
Yeah. See, and that's another area where I think we did a bad job because we were so quick to, oh, we'll buy your prom tickets. Who the fuck does that? You buy your own prom tickets.
We did.
We would rent the tux, buy the prom tickets, and then subsidize the meal.
Yeah.
That was dumb, 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 dumb.
I know. Prom is ridiculous.
Because you know what we did?
One.
We Shy Guy may never go to a prom.
I know.
Which is really too bad. But for the older two, it was like they would come and just stand there. Like, I have to buy, you know, homecoming tickets today. If they want to go to a dance,
make them earn part of it at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not, I really think this may sound harsh, but that's a nice to have.
Going to a dance?
Yes. That's a nice to have.
And, yeah, see, well, that's interesting because for me, it's a high school experience have to have.
Yeah, and
but
it's
you
a
don't
great
have
opportunity
to
understand that this is something I want.
Right.
And
I need to work.
I have to earn this food, athletic clothes, yearbook, ASB fee, lab fees, AP tests. We pay for enough.
Yeah.
And those are also some of those are nice to have too,
yeah,
in a way.
Exactly. Right.
So this, I think, is a great opportunity because in absolutely no way are we a part of that date. You earn that ticket money, you earn that meal money, and you go have that experience that you've created for yourself.
Can I just say one thing, however?
Sure.
You have to know that the dance is coming in order to help them plan for it. And I will tell you that in our household, we learn about the dance. Sometimes there have been times when we learned about the dance like 2 days beforehand.
We've learned about the dance and then you just are going to have to go with the cummerbund because you took too long and now you can't get your vest in a tall.
So if you've got small kids, can we give you one piece of really good advice
put
from our own experience?
Put the prom on the calendar now.
Put it all on the calendar.
Oh my
Do not
God.
Count on your children to tell you.
Yep.
And especially, I'm going to say this, especially if you have boys.
I think so.
Good God almighty. Where are their brains? Boys, where are your brains?
The girls have their dresses before they have their dates.
It's true.
bless them.
Oh, gosh. Color coordination was only because the girlfriends were on top of it.
No, it never worked. We had to go with neutral tones
yes.
because they were unable to explain peach.
Well, it's really a pinky sort of
fuchsia. To God. So Tigger's prom, we go round and round about this girl's dress, and he's like, it's pink, it's pink, it's pink, it's pink. And so he goes and gets a hot pink, awful fucking color, tie and vest. I can post a picture if you want. He looked like he was in Miami Vice.
He did.
And we show up for photos, and her dress is as peach as the day is long. They look like sherbet.
They do.
For someone who is as uptight as I am, I was like, ugh, I can't even look at what's happening. So we learned, and I think, I'll have to go back and look at pictures. I think for Lola, it was always silvers.
Yes.
And
we're
patterns.
Like, forget about it.
Great, white and black and yes. patterns, because it's just not worth trying unless you are... Like
if they're already
if she can show up at the tux shop with
yes.
you and bring her dress.
Yes. Otherwise, don't do it.
Yeah. Otherwise.
Oh, God. Here, you're going to love this. this made
are
me
we
feel...
how are we talking about prom?
I don't know.
Oh, buying tickets.
Oh, right. Right.
We're
right.
off the rails.
OK,
let's,
sorry.
Let's come back.
I would like to know what the difference is between a reward and a bribe. And I'm going to share with you something that our friend Chris wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my kids were paid for doing their schoolwork. That was their, quote, job.
Oh, Chris. Is that real?
I don't know. I've got to ask him. I have got to ask him. I don't think so.
Don't pay your kids to do their homework.
I think probably they were just given an allowance every week and then expected to always get their homework done.
Sure.
But I've got to know. Some people pay for A's.
Oh, that's not good.
Is giving an allowance creating that intrinsic work ethic? Again, if you pay somebody to do their homework, well, I guess it's no different from paying somebody to do their job once they are out in the workforce, right?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one for a second. That just feels weird that, okay, well, I'm going to do this thing I have to do and I'm entitled to money for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, we start them out
Chris,
pretty...
there will be follow-up here in a minute.
We start them out pretty early with that expectation, right?
Yep.
I mean, I think about when we were potty training Tigger, and you start offering gold stars for pooping. Hello?
Oh, my God.
What is that teaching somebody?
Yes.
You know...
gold star.
One of the boys, who I won't point out, was given M&Ms and gold stars for every number two he dropped in the bowl. And as you know...
Okay. I'm grossed out.
We now have a kid who will spend 45 minutes... in the bathroom sometimes.
Eating
and I'm wondering
M&Ms on the toilet.
I'm wondering if he's waiting for the M&Ms.
He's still waiting. He's broken.
All right.
Oh, my God. So what if they just simply refused to do the work?
I don't know. Well, with our kids, they refused and nothing happened.
That's right.
Right?
So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a girlfriend wrote on Facebook, Rebecca, her daughter, did her chores without being paid as she was part of our household and was expected to help out. In fact, she hated that I didn't separate whites from darks in the laundry, so she started doing everyone's wash at 7 years old.
That's super cute.
It was super cute.
It just bugged her. That sounds like me.
They never had a set allowance. She was always helpful and kind and would say that she needed some money so that they were happy to give it to her because she never asked for anything unreasonable. I didn't refuse to hassle Becca to do her chores. In fact, one time after dinner, it was her turn to do the dishes. Oh, this is a funny little story. In fact, it was one time after dinner, it was her turn to do the dishes and take out the garbage. I reminded her twice and she promised she would, quote, do it before she got to bed. So stop hassling her. Well, Gail did stop hassling Rebecca. And then Rebecca went to bed without doing the chore. Mm-hmm. So Gail set an alarm. Mom set an alarm for 3 a.m., woke her up to do it. She thought it was hysterical and bragged to her friends about what a nut she was.
Bragged?
Yeah, that her mom was a nut. So Gail's philosophy was always, if it can grow back, change color, and isn't harmful to anyone, including her, let it go. Humor always helps. So I guess you have to approach somebody refusing to do their work with a little bit of humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it just
grounding
depends on the age, too, right? Like, have a family meeting, find out what the holdup is, get more involved in what they say they're doing homework-wise, and, you know, why they're so busy that they can't help out around the family. Explain, you know, what it means to getting those things done for family time and for just all of it. And then, you know, one thing that we did at the beginning of this, when the kids would just leave all day long, dishes all over the counter, no one was unloading, even though that was the expectation.
Right.
A couple times I just didn't make dinner. And they would come up and it was like 8 o'clock. And I'm like, well, the kitchen's a mess. I can't. I'm
Brilliant.
Not doing both.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, my fucking God.
Okay. They didn't say that. But
well, it kind of stopped that trend of, you know, the other thing is they open the dishwasher and if it's full and needs to be unloaded, they close
leave.
It really quietly. Set their dishes down. I can hear it. And they go downstairs.
Slink downstairs.
Yeah, so now that's the top thing on Shy Guy's list is every morning he
unload.
Has to unload.
Yep.
And then you have to put your dishes in so that you keep things
well,
clean. I don't, you know what? I'm not anal retentive.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes.
I see no reason why dirty dishes and pots and pans need to pile up. If you don't leave yourself enough time to clean up after lunch, start earlier. Stop fucking around.
Hey, I've got a question or I've got a comment for you.
Okay.
I have heard plenty of people say, yeah, I didn't learn how to cook or I didn't, you know, do this or I didn't do that because I could never do it as well as my mom or my dad. And I was criticized for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that if you've got a kid who's refusing to work, maybe that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally relate to that because that is me. You know, I have to work really hard not to say, you call that clean? Because you have to be more gentle and you do have to be just a model, a role model for them. And then explain to them where, you know, what looks great. Okay. I will always start with what looks like it needs to be done better. And that is, don't do what I do.
Yeah, don't do that.
What were you laughing at? What are you going to say here?
You said model. Uh-huh. I'm the biggest offender of leaving dishes.
Shut up.
I mean, I swear to God, Bon.
Shut up.
Because you know what it does?
What?
That is the trigger. Then they go, oh, well, then I get to.
Well, now we're working at home and I'll be go to hell if I'm going to not take a lunch, eat at my desk while I'm working and then do my dishes.
Take a lunch break, dude.
I know. I've got to do that.
Take a lunch break.
It's busy right now. It's busy all the time.
You are making the same excuses that we let the kids.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I was on my phone for so long. I didn't realize it was lunchtime. Now I have 5 seconds and I just have to walk away. I have to walk away. I have to be somewhere else. I have to walk away. Oh, my God. Well, I have to kick you out of the house.
Oh, jeez.
Take a lunch break.
You know, I have to tell you the funniest story. Joe on the Facebook page was she actually wrote after we recorded the first time. And since then, I've gone back and seen her post. But she started teaching her daughter, Ava, to do. Ava does, you know, laundry. However, they have stacking units. And so Ava's not tall enough to reach the, what's on the top?
The dryer?
I think it was the, I don't remember. One of them's not on the top. And I'm like, well, then she just needs to, I think it was the washer is on the top.
That's crazy.
That the washer would be on the top?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like a pool on the roof, right?
Well, that's true. It's true. It's probably on the bottom. Anyway, she can only do half of it. And so she's like, what's my solution? They don't make step ladders tall enough for her to get up there.
Oh, wow.
I know.
How tall is this unit?
I don't know. Maybe she just needs to shop at a different hardware store. Hey, I love the fact that she's teaching her because she's an only child. And I think when you have an only child,
it's easier to do it all. So be careful.
It's way easier to do it all.
Yeah. Have them help out.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure.
All right. What are my chores for today? It's Sunday. Oh, right. I'm going to edit because this is our third time recording this podcast.
We've been in the studio for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's really hot in here.
Are you hot?
I'm hot. I don't want any more coffee. I'm going to go lay in the street.
Try not to get run over by the neighbor's new
Revel.
Revel.
The Batmobile has a friend.
It's a
Revel Sprinter van. I want to lick it.
So cute. You did lick it yesterday when we got a tour.
So cool.
Yeah.
They're the coolest couple I know.
I know.
Seriously.
Yep. She homeschooled the heck out of those kids, four of them, all going off and doing brilliant things.
They're just badass family.
They are. They're nice,
too. Now they have badass vehicles to prove it. That thing could go straight up a mountain and then like level itself and then shoot out its awning and fly down. I am jealous.
Yes, you are now.
But at least I get to look at it.
Yes.
The big blue box is going away.
Woo-hoo!
That Revel will sit there and that's what I get to look at while I do the dishes.
Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear that episode, they've had a big blue storage box while they did some work. We don't even see it anymore, but now
Soon.
It's going to be replaced by...
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
By the Revel or Revel?
Revel.
Oh, such a cute little
thing. I will
thing.
Revel in it.
It'll make doing dishes easier.
Well,
so
and I have like a green tint. Every time I look at it, I turn a little green.
All right, it's time to get some chores done.
It's time to get some
It's a Sunday
stuff
afternoon.
On my to-do list
oh,
done.
To-do list instead of chore list.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
My to-do list. I have to go finish a project in the garage.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. I'm excited.
Gonna organize the hell out of that thing.
Yep.
And as somebody who has now got a finer appreciation for the hard work that goes into running a household, Lola walked into the garage last night when you were about 3/4 of the way through that project and said,
ooh, that looks good. And I was like, yeah, it does.
That's right. That's what happened.
You came out and looked at it and you had dead eyes. You're like,
No, I'm like, there's not enough room. We need more shelves.
Did you think I was done? I said I... Anyway, okay. I can't. I think you had dead eyes because you realized we had to record again.
Oh, for God's sake.
It was really late at night.
So if you have the audacity and the persistence and the insistence to teach your kids how to do chores and how to appreciate work, your children, too, will one day walk into a garage when you're almost done with a project and say,
ooh, that looks good.
Yeah, you are something else. And next time we meet, we'll be talking about Halloween.
Spooky Halloween.
So exciting. What's going to happen this year?
I don't
know. No super spreaders allowed. That's what I say.
Scariest fucking thing ever.
Until then.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.